मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of all lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga, Liberation Through Renunciation. In the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna asked a question. What is the difference between Tyaga and Sannyasa? Tyaga means relinquishment of the result of action, and Sannyasa is renunciation of action. This part of the Bhagavad Gita is very confusing. Last time I explained to you what is karma, how many types of karma, and the effect of karma. Now, man's real nature is the Atman, and that Atman is action. There is no action in Atman. So all human beings are trying to achieve that state where there is no action. There is only tranquility and peace and happiness. That is the realm of the Absolute. The moment you enter the domain of Maya, Trigunatmika Prakriti, Prakriti with three gunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, activity begins. As I told you many times, ignorance, desire, action. Human beings are rotating in this cyclic order. If you have no desire, no action. If you have no ignorance, no desire. So, we want to get rid of this merry-go-round, this wheel of karma. That is our goal. How to do it? How can we do it? You will have to counteract the action by action. You will have to counteract your bad action by good action. Then transcend both. Sri Ramakrishna said, if a thorn pricked into your foot, take another thorn, take that thorn out, then throw away them both. That is our goal. So we shall take the help of action with a view to transcend action. Krishna never encouraged Arjuna to renounce activities because Arjuna is not a monastic, not a sannyasi, he is not a mendicant. You always remember the mendicants, sannyasins, renounce action. I am talking about Vidvat sannyasi, the highest rank of sannyasins, do not perform any action. Because they are illumined. They have no desire. No desire, no action. But the second class sannyasi like me perform action for two reasons. One, for my own liberation. Second, for doing good to humanity. When I work for others, that is my sadhana. That is my discipline. Swamiji said, everybody can kill one bird by one arrow. If you can kill two birds by one arrow, then you are an intelligent person. So the monastics, they kill two birds by one arrow. They seek their own liberation through unselfish action, and through unselfish action they help people without any motive. He helps. He helps people. Verse 4. nishchayam shrinume tatra tyagi bharata sattama tyagohi purushu vyagra trivido samprakirtita. Learn from me, O best of the Bharatas, the truth about relinquishment. For relinquishment is declared to be the three kinds. O tiger among men. Three kinds of relinquishment of action Krishna is going to explain to us. You see, in the Bhagavad Gita, we find the monastics and the householders have no fight. The fight between the monastics, and the fight we see between the monastics and the kami, bhogi, man of renunciation and man of enjoyment. There is a difference. You see, a householder, person who is performing his duties, he may not take the formal vows of monasticism, but he can relinquish the result of his actions to God without renouncing action. Krishna says he will never be bound. Main thing is who is going to be caught by this trap of Maya. That is the vital thing in this Karma Yoga. Who is going to be bound? If you do not perform any action, mentally and physically, verbally, if you cut off, then karma, the wheel of karma, the trap of karma cannot bind you. You see, if you are not in the election, perhaps you are not the mayor of the city, then the mayor's activities, duties have nothing to do with you. So you are never to be trapped by this mayor's office, the city hall. So try to see this, that this person does not want to enter into the realm of action. What does he do? He lives like a mendicant, traveling from place to place, eating whatever is available by the grace of God, and he depends completely on God. So Maya, this trap of karma, cannot bind him. Suppose a person is a householder, has his own household duties. He has duty for his wife, for his children. At the same time, he relinquishes the result of all his actions to God. He does not take the position of a doer or agent. He eradicates his ego. At the same time, he performs action. That is very difficult. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to perform action like that. Geyo sa nitya sinnasi nat vesti na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi sa yukta sa suki nara. In 12th chapter, Krishna says, learn, know it for certain, that person is a real sannyasi. He who never hates anybody. Not vesti, he who does not desire for anything. He who has relinquished both good and evil. He is a real sannyasi. That doesn't mean that you will have to put on an ochre cloth. Staying at home also, you can practice that. Krishna said that to Arjuna. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentioned, karmendriyani sanyamah yaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhatma mithacharo sauchyate. Listen, Arjuna, he is a hypocrite number one, who has controlled his external organs. He is not doing anything wrong, but mentally he is enjoying the sense objects. He is a hypocrite. The person may stay in the monastery, but mentally enjoys the sense of enjoyment, objects. He is a hypocrite. Krishna said to Arjuna, don't be hypocrite, be frank. Learn from me, O best of Bharatas, the truth about relinquishment. For relinquishment is declared to be the three kinds. Vishwami, why Krishna is asking Arjuna to perform action? Because Nishkam karma, unselfish action, will purify the mind, and the pure mind will be fit to think of God. That pure mind will bring liberation. So, if preparation is necessary, so nishkam karma, activities, meditation, japam, helping others, these things will purify your mind. There are three kinds of relinquishment. First, one performs action without seeking the result of action. I am serving you without seeking any result. No money. I don't want any money from you. I don't want any name, fame, power, position. Without any motive, I am trying to serve. That is called sattvic tyag, sattvic relinquishment. A second kind of relinquishment is he has desire for the result of action, but he gave up the work because he felt it is very troublesome. But he has secret desire for name and fame. At the same time, he does not like to take the responsibility, he does not like to get involved in new activities. But desire is there to get the result. A person might have a desire to become the Vice Chancellor of Washington University, but he does not, but he gave up that hope because he was thinking that job is very troublesome. That is called second kind of relinquishment. Desire for result is there, but he is afraid to take the responsibility. I want that name and fame that I am the Vice Chancellor of Washington U, but I do not like to take the responsibility. It does not go. Second kind of relinquishment is he does not have any result, desire for result, as well as he does not have any desire to act. They are all tamasic. Rajasic people have desire for result, but does not want to work. And the tamasic people, they relinquish both. They do not want to work. They do not want to be, want the result of the work. Krishna will explain further. There are people in the spiritual traditions of both East and West who hold that any kind of worldly activity taints us, getting us embroiled in self-centered activities and relationships. Trying to find ways to remove the threat of war, to help deal with the problems of poverty and hunger, to make our neighborhood safe from violence again, all this agitates the mind and makes it difficult to concentrate on spiritual discipline. Why not forget about the state of the world, retiring to the mountains somewhere, and lead a life of simple tranquility? One of the most cogent arguments against this is that it does not work. Anybody's mind can come down, at least on the surface level, when there is nobody around to contradict you. But left on its own, the mind goes on dwelling on itself. The ego becomes bloated. If somebody says something critical, asks, perhaps, what your way of life is contributing to the world, you blow up. Just beneath the surface of the mind, every samskara is still there. What progress has been made? The mind, with all its same problems, is busier than ever. Today, to avoid the problems of stress and tension, we are advised to let go and take it easy. Even experts sometimes say, what does it matter? Go with the flow. By now, I don't suppose I have to name the guna. Recently, I was surprised to read the advice of a prominent physician on how to deal with the stress. Rule number one is, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two is, it is all small stuff. To me, this is a most depressing view of life and of human capabilities. such attitudes are often considered spiritual, but this is a gross misunderstanding. Not only the Gita, but Jesus and the compassionate Buddha too, teach a message of active love and selfless service. There is no conflict between what Christian mystics call the active and the contemplative lives, between meditation and selfless action. They go together as naturally as breathing out and breathing in. What a person takes in by contemplation, Eckhart says, he pours forth in love. Verse 5 and 6. Yijyodanam tapasyaiva pavanani manishinam etanya pitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha kartavyani iti me partha nishchitam matam uttamam. Acts of sacrifice, gift and austerity must not be given up, but should be performed. For verily, sacrifice, gift and austerity purify the wise. Even these works, however, should be done without attachment and desire for fruit. This, O Partha, is my conclusive and final judgment. These things Krishna discussed elaborately in the last chapter, in the 17th chapter, yajna, sacrifice, dana, charity, tapa, austerity. These three types of actions, not a jump, one should not relinquish. One should perform with love as a duty, because these three purify the mind. Pavanani munishinam. These three types of actions, sacrifice, charity, and austerity, will purify your mind. Purification of the mind is absolutely necessary for illumination, for liberation, for God's realization. Etannapitu karmani. Jigna, I already explained to you that in ancient days, every action, you go to work in the office, that is jigna, that is sacrifice. You are sacrificing yourself for what? For money. You see, nowadays you do not do Agnihotra sacrifice. You do when you smoke cigarette, that you used to call, hey, this is the Agnihotra. Agnihotra sacrifice means a Brahmin is supposed to perform ritual three times a day, in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. They have a family fire. In that fire, they would have to pour oblation for the deities. They will pray, they will meditate, and they will pour oblation. Om Agnaya Swaha, Om Somaya Swaha, Om Surjaya Swaha, Om. This way they repeat mantra, that I pour oblation to the fire god, I pour oblation to the Soma. You know, there are various deities. In the name of the deities, they pour oblation so that they can get some virtue. They can get Shraddha, faith, love for God, just like other activities, you see. But this yajna is very important. It's a ritual. Ritual takes human beings for the time being near God. Asana, upasana. Do you know what does it mean in question? Upa means near, asana means sit. On those particular moments, you are very close to God. When you pray in your shrine, when you go and pray in the church, at that time, really your mind is very close to God. So these things, you know, the more you can sit near God, the more you will be purified. That is their view. Dana. Dana means charity. The moment you come out from your shrine, you go out and see people are suffering, you just help them, give them charity. Whatever way you can give, you know, you can give food, you can give money, you can give clothing, you can give nursing, you can give medicine. Whatever way you can serve people, please do. That is called charity. That also, you see God in the shrine, you see God outside, among human beings. And in that attitude, you can serve them. That is called dana, charity. Not that, you know, I gave you money, my name should come on the front page of the newspaper. Not like that, you see. And then tapa. Tapa means austerity. Austerity also I explained to you in three planes. Physical plane, verbal plane, oral plane, and the mental plane. Our austerity is mainly on the mental plane. You see, in America it is very difficult to perform physical austerity. In India you will find in the Himalayan monks barefooted, bare body, like a small lion cloth and a blanket on his shoulder, moving around, care of God, sleeping under the tree, eating on the palm of the hand. That is called real austerity, no belongings. Completely free from possession. And verbal austerity is truthfulness. Don't tell anything which is untrue. So these are the three kinds of activities we explained in this 17th chapter. They freely purify our minds. Etannapitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha. Krishna says that these activities, yajna, dana, tapa, sacrifice, charity, austerity, should be practiced without attachment and without the desire for the fruits of those activities. Do it as a duty. Self-sacrifice, giving and self-discipline are the three kinds of yajna or sacrifice presented in the last chapter. The Gita is offering a very interesting concept. Meditation is essentially a process of purification. So, are its related disciplines in my eight-step program, from repeating the mantra to putting others first. Everything we do, meals, work, relationships, recreation, even sleep, is viewed not from the mundane point of view, but in reference to the Supreme Goal. This is a very practical perspective. We know what strenuous disciplines a championship athlete has to undergo to win an Olympic gold medal. A great gymnast does not keep her body supple and lithe for the sake of beauty. Although I don't suppose she minds being beautiful, she does it because supple body is essential for a world-class gymnast. Similarly, Sri Krishna is lifting the disciplines of sadhana out of the realm of good and bad, right and wrong, into the dynamics of championship living. Putting others first, giving up ourselves generously, and hard, selfless work are not simply morally desirable. They are exercises that we must practice regularly if we want to win life's highest prize. We may not think about it in these words, but all of us appreciate unselfishness, generosity, and self-discipline in others. And all of us have our moments of these virtues too. Sadhana simply means practicing them not just when it is convenient or when we are feeling good, but like a championship athlete, every day, systematically, eagerly, and with sustained enthusiasm. Yet purification is not exactly a word that catches the aspirations of modern times. It has Victorian overtones, which is perhaps the worst fate that can befall the world today. My beatnik friends in the early 60s felt particularly sensitive to this. People who tell you to have a pure mind, one of them told me bluntly, are usually hiding their unclean thoughts under a rug. They have the same kind of desires as I do. They just repress them. That is not only dangerous, it is dishonest. The Gita is not talking about repression, I said. This is a matter of optics. I still was not accustomed to this phobia of Victorian thought, but I had learned the appeal of scientific images. According to Patanjali, I said, the mind is like a clear crystal. It has simply got covered with dirt. If you want to see life clearly, You have to wash all the dirt off. And what do you mean by dirt? He asked. From the look on his face, as if he had just bitten into a sour apple, I could tell he still though thought I was in Sanjay school. The Gita's answer took him by surprise. Thinking about yourself, I said, that is the worst kind of smog. A person who thinks only of himself is like one of those old cars that drives around filling the air with dark, oily fumes. He's really polluting the atmosphere. On a smoggy day in Los Angeles, I am told, you can wash your windows in the morning and find a thin film of green on them of the afternoon, by the end of the afternoon. That is how self-will builds up on the crystal of the mind. It takes a long time, of course, for the crystal to become so dirty that you can't see through it. But we have been allowing self-will to accumulate since childhood. The Hindu and Buddhist mystics would say for many lifetimes, it is only natural that all of us have cleaning to do. To me, yajna does not mean ritualistic sacrifice, although that is how it is usually understood. It refers essentially to the sacrifice of self-will, which means putting other people first. When you work harmoniously at a job you do not like, that is yajna. You are sacrificing self-will. When you return patience for hostility, you are sacrificing self-will. When you refuse to act on a strong selfish desire or sense craving, you are sacrificing self-will. Just as an Olympic athlete has exercises for reducing excess weight, these are exercises for trimming down our excessive burden of karma. If you want to make steady progress in sadhana, therefore you cannot afford self-will. The less self-will you have, the less your karma burden, and the faster you will make progress. The more self-will you have, the heavier your karma, and the slower you will make progress. That is the main reason for differences, is how differences in how individuals' consciousness evolves. One should perform one's duty. Eknath continued, on one occasion, however, the local head of the Ramakrishna Order, I think he was then in India, happened to ask me to deliver the keynote address for the celebration of Sri Ramakrishna's birthday. I was floored. Here was a dedicated monk, highly placed in one of the most prestigious monastic orders in India, asking a householder to speak to a great gathering on the subject of their founder. I was uncomfortably aware of my position as I took my place on the stage. But once I began speaking, my deep love for Sri Ramakrishna welled up. I became completely absorbed, just as I do today, and forgot all about my notes. The rhetorical effects I used to rehearse so carefully came to me spontaneously. I felt afterwards a little like a magician who keeps reaching into his hat to see what will come forth next. My talk was as new to me as it was to my audience. They appreciated it, but I don't think anyone appreciated it more than I did. That occasion gave me a glimpse of unsuspected resources, which I could tap by reaching for a higher purpose. I began to see that I could use my literary training not merely for entertaining an audience, but for enriching other people's lives. That was yajna. That is sacrifice. And it can happen with virtually any skill. In those days, I used to have to prepare for every talk I gave. Now, I simply sit down and begin to speak. Every day of my life is my preparation. Verses 7 to 9. Here, Krishna is describing three kinds of renunciation. Niyatasya tu sannyasa karmano nopapadyate mohatasya paritaga tyagas tamasa parikirtita dukkham ittiva yat karma kaya klesha bhayat tyajet sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labhet. Karjamittiva jatkarma niyatam kriyati Arjuna sangam taktva phalam chaiva satyagaha satyiko mataha. The renunciation of obligatory action is not proper. Its abandonment from delusion is declared to be of the nature of tamas. The renunciation of a man who abandons a duty from fear of physical suffering because it is painful is of the nature of rajas. It does not bring him the fruit of renunciation. The wise man of renunciation who is endowed with sattva and whose doubts are dispelled never hates a duty that is disagreeable nor feels attachment to a duty that is agreeable. Krishna says, O Arjuna, don't relinquish your daily obligatory duties. What do you mean by daily obligatory duties, Swami? They call it nitya karma. Nitya karma means daily obligatory duty. That means japam and meditation and prayer every day, morning and evening. The Hindus perform in a ritualistic way. Worship, morning worship, evening vesper, evening worship. They offer fruits, they burn incense, they burn light, they sit on an asana, they chant, they do four things. Puja, part, job, dhyan. Puja means worship, little ritual. Part means a little reading or chanting or singing some hymns. Job means meditation, dhyan means job, means japam, chanting the name of the Lord, and dhyana means meditation. Sitting on a seat in the shrine, they perform these four things. Puja, worship, ritual. Ritual means, does not mean that you will have to do ritual as I do on the special occasion you have seen, ritualistic worship. Not like that. Just light a candle, burn an incense. If you have a flower, offer a flower to the Lord. That is puja. Part means the reading from the scriptures, gospel, Gita, or chant something, prayer something. Japam, repeat your mantra, and dhyana, meditation. I met a Swami, Swami Vividishananda in Seattle. He told me, Swami Brahmananda asked him to perform all these four so that your spiritual life will not be bored. Suppose one day you have great mood for meditation, forget everything. One day you have a great mood for japa, forget other things. Anyhow, among these four, one will work. Some days you have no mind for japa and meditation, and that day only perform ritual. Or some days you have no mind, only your mind is very distracted, just only read. That will. You see, by one way or other, just connect your mind with God. That Swami Brahmananda said to that Swami, and that Swami told me, I watched him when he was in the shrine. That 85, 86 years old monk was practicing what his guru said 60 years ago. 65 years ago. Or Guru Bhakti Vishwas, faith in the words of the guru. That makes life very secure and safe. So niyata karma, nitya karma. Nitya karma means daily obligatory duty you are supposed to do. But Swami, what will it do? It will purify the mind. You see, if you clean your vessel, that brass vessel every day, it will glitter like gold. If you do not clean it one or two, first day you may not see, second day, third day you will find a kind of stain is on that brass plate or brass pot. A stain comes. So if you do not practice japam and meditation, unperceptibly a stain will come and cover your mind. So daily cleaning, daily practicing will clean your mind. That they do. It is very scientific. So Krishna says, a tamasha, tamasic renunciation. The renunciation of obligatory action is not proper. Its abandonment from delusion is declared to be of the nature of tamas. Swami, how a person out of delusion relinquishes action, do you know how? Suppose you have seen your friend is a member of Vedanta Society. And he is not financially good. He has marriage problem. He has other problems, health problem. Then your friend, you know, was thinking that, well, my friend goes to Vedanta, he has this problem. He tries to practice his spiritual life, but still his health is not good. He is not financially very, you know, very rich. But why should I practice religion? If religion does not make a person rich, if a religion does not make a person healthy, why should I practice religion? So out of Thomas, you say, this is called delusion. In this deluded way, he forgoes. He does not practice religion. That is called tamashtag. His understanding about religion is different. He wants to evaluate God through materialism, you see. Because you are in Vedanta, you are not supposed to die, you are not supposed to get sickness, you are not supposed to get any kind of problem in your life. That is the way they understand religion. So, I am not supposed to go practice meditation and japa. If you are sick and you practice japa, why should I practice japa? So, I shall not do it. Yes, that is their logic. Second, dukkha mittiva jat karma kayo klesha bhayat tejit. Mani fear. Oof, you are going to Vedanta center. You will have to sit that wooden chair. They don't have good couch. Luckily, we have now cushion. And you see, you will sit there 1 hour. And coming from home, half an hour, 2 hours. If you go to a place, you can earn at least $15-20. And moreover, physical pain, that you know, sitting there, backache, you know, they kind of, you know, out of lethargy and fear, you know, kayoklesha. Why shall I practice that word? Why should I practice meditation? Instead of sitting in the shrine, I can lie down in bed and can enjoy my laziness, you see. Most of the people think that way. Tiredness, everything is in the mind. Dukkha mitti vaja kaya klesha bhayate, the kaya klesha, when physical, oof, I shall, I remember one communist leader told me, in 1970, I think it was in September, the east part of Calcutta was flooded. Many people became homeless. Some people are living on the second floor, third floor of a school building, and they had no food. So I was busy in that relief operation. So I went with a Swami who was in charge of a hospital, and they have 300 nurses. Nursing training institute, and we have a big hospital. So those nurses cooked food for 2,500 people. You know, the girls cooked khichdi and other things. They are fast, and they have a big kitchen facility for these nearly 600-700 patients. So they cooked, and I put that food in the truck and carrying that some places by boat. And reached that food to the people, those who are on the top of those school buildings. So a communist leader told me, Maharaj, this heavy rain and you know, whole place is flooded. Stay in your center, you know, why you do all this physical, you know, effort and you will be sick. I said, you stay in your home, let me die. I did not become a monk for saving my life. I want to die. So, you see, these people think that way. I asked them, why don't you give me some members, some volunteers who can help work with me? And his nephew came and helped me a little. But that man did not come out from the room and he wanted to be a congressman, you see. Some people do not perform action out of fear of physical trouble. They are rajasikta, and relinquishment out of rajas. first person, the tamasic person, relinquishes action out of delusion, and this rajasic person relinquishes action out of, you may say, out of fear of physical discomfort. I want to keep my body fit and I want to enjoy my life. Why should I go outside and serve people in cold winter or in bad time? It is better to, I may get sick. This is very interesting. The Agnihotra worship, japam and meditation, it is troublesome, you know. You go and sit down in the morning and evening in the shrine for an hour, your knees will ache, back will ache, you will feel so much discomfort. But the result is good. This Gita Krishna is going to tell us, agre vishopama, pare amritopama. In the beginning, it is like distasteful, painful, like poison. But if you go on pursuing this type of work, pare amritopama, it will give you the taste of nectar. Agre amritopama, pare vishopama. Some activities in the beginning, it is so sweet, so exciting, you know, world enjoyment. Later, it becomes painful. That Krishna says. Karjam ittiva jat karma niyatam kriyati urjuna sangam tyakta phalam chiva satyago sattikam. Sattik tyak, sattik, good relinquishment is, renunciation is sangam tyakta. He gives up the attachment for the work as well as the result. But he performs action. He performs action without desiring any kind of result or without having any kind of attachment. He is the intelligent person. I remember when Swami Vivekananda returned to India from the West, there was a flood or some kind of catastrophe, some kind of disaster. Many people are suffering. So Swamiji wanted to start a relief work there. And at that time, Ramakrishna Mission was not very much organized. So, Mahabodhi Society, I think, their own Buddhist organization, started to operate relief, you know, they wanted a relief operation. So they said that Ramakrishna Mission can work under our umbrella, but we shall not put their names. Swamiji said, we don't want any name, we want to serve the people. What shall we do with name and fame? The people are suffering, we want to serve, that's it. That we find, you see, there are some people want name. That means they have a motive. They want popularity. They want fame. That is not nishkam karma. You have a motive. See, most of the political leaders, these hard people, they have motive. Elect me next time. I shall help in your community. I shall bring some business from Washington DC so that your city may prosper. They have motive. Shri Krishna is trying over and over to make it clear that renunciation is essentially a mental state. We cannot free ourselves of the tremendous backlog of human conditioning by packing up belongings and giving them to the Salvation Army. I have had people come to me and say, yesterday I was reading about St. Francis and I decided to renounce my stamp collection and give it to the newspaper boy. I remember one boy used to live with us in Hollywood. He was a monk. He saw that brother, sun, and silver, and sister, moon, that same movie on St. Francis of Assisi. And he gave up all his bed and used to sit on a wooden plank. And he used to complain, Swami, I have so much backache. He used to complain back. Then I saw that he is sleeping in the basement on a wooden plank, you know, and it has a big, big gap. And his all backs are cuts and bruises, practicing, you know, St. Francis of Assisi. Seeing that movie, Brother, Son, and Sister Moon. Then he left. In Advaita Ashram, my roommate was also like that. He was very austere. He had no pillow even. His clothes and shirts he used to fold, and over that he used to put a towel that was his bed. And he used to sleep on a wooden plank, and over that a straw mat. So I thought that I must supersede him, you know. Then I did not take even the mat. I slept on the wooden plank and my back was cut. At that time I was so skinny, my ribs were all cut. I did not realize God that way, you see. I thought that, you know, if I practice austerity, I shall see God soon. Desire, Buddha said, you cannot realize God by torturing the body. It does not work. Tamas is greed as renouncing responsibilities. Halfway through college or when he has a family to support, he decides that the time has come to give up worldly life and all its problems and devote his time to contemplation, gardening, writing poetry, or enjoying the simple life. I am not causing anybody any harm, he says, and on the surface it may seem true. But the mental state say point blank, I don't care. What matters is that I do what I like. If you give up education in the very beginning, dropouts, which is very bad. They suffer all through their lives. This, of course, is not simply a matter of individuals. Bureaucratic bodies can be severely afflicted with tamas as they come to reflect the lowest common measure of sensitiveness among those they comprise. Their very size creates torpor. We see this so frequently that I doubt if there is any need, for example, governments and corporations defaulting on their responsibilities will tell you that wondrous obligations such as public health were never properly theirs to begin with. Rajas, by contrast, gives things up when he is forced to, usually by pain. If he renounces martinis, it is not because he has got hold of his desire and turned it around. It is because he has developed an ulcer and drinking martinis hurts. He gives up smoking because his cough has become so painful, because it is difficult even to breathe. This way some people renounce. I have given up cigarette, paying $700 fee, a person told me. Swami, I gave up cigarette by paying a penalty, $700, so that, you know, I shall feel. I told you not to pay $700, I can tell you give up. Free. Why, some people, you know, wants to give money that way. Penalty. So many people. There are so many people with saving attitude toward life. Let me be very clear. I applaud everyone who gives up smoking, whatever the motivation. It is the purpose of paying to prod us into making such changes. And though the experience is unpleasant, it is much better to learn from pain than not to learn at all. But here we have to look at the mental state and see how much it contributes to freedom. I know people who, though they have given up cigarettes, cannot watch someone light up after dinner without a stab of envy or deprivation. I appreciate their willpower. But at the same time, as they would be first to admit, they are not free from the compulsion of their desire in the mind. There is neither joy nor freedom in this kind of renunciation. The mind is still clamoring. Therefore, the Gita says, there is no spiritual reward in it either. That is, no reduction of unfavorable karma. All that can be said is that no more harm is being done on the physical level. One last point. On the spiritual path, you sometimes find people who say, I have renounced work. I don't want to get involved in making money. I don't even want to touch money. I touch money on the whole. I find it rather useful in carrying on selfless work in the 20th century. Mahatma Gandhi must have millions of rupees pass through his hands. And he not only suffered them to pass, he solicited them from everybody. He was a tirelessly imaginative fundraiser. If a woman with gold bangles came to touch his garment and get his blessing, he would tell her, "Why don't you give me those bangles to sell for the poor? You will look so beautiful without them. Your arms will feel much lighter, and so will your heart." Many people gave, and the more they gave, the more he asked. Enormous amounts of money were needed to fund the rural uplift work in India's 700,000 villages. And Gandhi reminded us that it was everyone's privilege to give. "We should thank the poor," he told us, "for giving us the opportunity to undo some of our karma." All right, you can ask me questions. You see, as I explained the other day, that there are various kinds of karmas. Some karma is shabhavik karma, natural activity, eating, sleeping, all these things. And nitya karma means daily obligatory duties, as you are talking about, that is practicing japa, meditation, studying the scriptures, you know, serving people, these types of karma. Or your duty in the office, that is also your nitya karma. So that your nitya karma, which you do in the office 6, 7, 8 hours, your work, please remember that work is not your goal. As you are in this world, you need food, clothing, your room, board, all these things you need. For that reason, you go outside and earn money. And why do you need money? Why you need? Because you are earning money for living. What is the purpose of living? God realization. You see, these are all interconnected. So your office work is also nitya karma. Your daily duty, you must perform it wholeheartedly. So that you see, later on a period will come, a secular and sacred will be one. That Krishna mentioned in the last part of the 17th chapter of the Gita, that a Brahma Buddhi, that all action will be transformed into worship. Whatever you do, it will be on worship. Then these differences will go away. And now you see these daily duties, if you do it in a natural way, it is all right. But you see, behind action, there must be a bhavana. Bhavana means philosophy. What is the philosophy of my life? Why am I working here? You see, this question comes again and again in human mind. What am I doing? It comes at 8:30 till 10, 5 o'clock, I work in the office. Why? What for? What is the purpose? You see, we question. I go to the shrine, I practice my japa and meditation. Why? What for? This question may come to your mind when you are doing it or spontaneously, naturally, you know. This question will come. But if you know the philosophy behind action, then you will never get deluded. You will never give up, like the tamasic and rajasic people. Tamasic people give up just out of ignorance, out of delusion. Oof. Nowadays, you know, some people say, "Swami, worthless degree." I read an article, worthless degree. Some students got their, you know, degree certificate after convocation, and they are tearing and putting in the waste paper trash can. They're tearing in front of the vice chancellor, in front of everybody. These young boys, those who got the degrees, they're tearing the certificate and throwing into the trash can. And the big caption, worthless degrees. You see, some people say, "Well, we have degrees, but we have no jobs. So why should I get education? It is better to be uneducated." That is the philosophy. Tamasic people. If you have good education, you will get chance in the society. That is the way I look at it. You know? Oh, some people say, you know, 100 million people are unemployed in India. So there is no hope for me to get a job. If I feel that way, I shall never get a job. Through dashing, pushing, I shall get something. I shall make out my own way. Toward life, I am very optimistic. I do not like this fatalistic view. What will happen? That will happen. Lie down. No. Work hard. Result will come in your life. Result is bound to come. Hard work. Swami Gombhiranandaji used to tell me, you see, a talent, genius, as you see, 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration. Work hard. See whether it works or not. That is the way I took my life. Work hard. Result is bound to come. If you are sincere, it must come. And if you are sincere, you will not make any mistakes. Few mistakes.